repeated. Well, we say it every week and we mean it. You repeat it for me. You're not here by mistake. You're here by
design.
I hope you feel that way. I know I do. I've been looking forward to today. Man, I shared earlier with the band that this day, this message was in many ways much for me. Convicted me this week. Convicted me as the pastor even on a Sunday morning. And I'll explain that in a little bit. And we all have Desiree to thank for that. So Desiree, if you'll come on up here for a minute. We have been studying. We have been in this. Yeah, give her a hand. Yeah. Good morning, Des.
You call me Desiree. I'm Des.
I know Des. It was official, huh?
Yeah.
Listen, we appreciate, first off, I love what you and Eric, all, you know, you serve. We've been talking about women in the Word and women who serve and where the church would be, where the church in America today would be without women who pray and who serve and many times put us as men to shame. We should be leading the charge. We should be setting the pace, but often we don't. But man, we have faithful women here, and this study has shown many of you. And that's right, Jay, you need to hug your wife because that's just the whole point of it. Men, we need to be thankful for our wives, for what they do. And you're one of those women who serve and you work. When I asked all the women to send in, you know, just to write down the women who just really mean something to you and what it spoke to you and why, tell us what you said.
I said, you guys hear me? I said Mary and Martha from the Bible because I relate to Martha because she's always kind of the one that's just busy working, doing stuff, getting mad at her sister and all that. And I relate and identify more with Martha, but I'm constantly driven to be like Mary and just be able to sit at the Lord's feet and take a break from the busyness and just realize what's important and worship. So.
Wow, fantastic. Thank you. Give her a hand. I'm not even going to ask you questions because I know that'll throw you, huh? I appreciate so much Eric and Des and what they do in their ministry. As we looked at the Word, as I took her page and I looked at that, and I'm ringing a bit. You need to pull me down. I'm ringing here some. I don't know if you guys hear it out there, but right here in this, there you go. I have such a small voice, I know he needs to really jack that up, but, you know. We look at women of the Word, and this story is found in Luke chapter 10, That's where it comes up in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Do we have that? There you go. As Jesus and his disciples were on the way, actually they're on the way to Jerusalem, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat, and a brother by Lazarus, if you'll know the story. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to get off her rear end and help me." Oh, that was Barnett translation. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, Mary and Martha, those are the main characters in this story. Sister, and as I mentioned, a brother Lazarus, who we're going to hear later on, Lazarus gets raised from the dead. Martha is saying, "Lord, you can come if you were here." But Martha, seeing Jesus coming with his disciples, some feel that they probably would have already known that he was coming at some point because Jesus sent forerunners into the different places. We don't know that for sure. But the intent is that she saw them coming. She invites them in. She was very hospitable for that. She was practicing the gift of hospitality. And in many ways, you got to hand it to her because I think even in our culture today, hospitality has been lost. It's been gone, really. Sometimes we're more concerned, with the way things look. If you come to see my house, make an appointment. If you come to see me, come on in type thing. But in many ways, hospitality itself, as it got started in the Old Testament, especially go back and look at that, hospitality was actually given to the stranger who was passing by. That you would invite the stranger. I realize culture has changed a lot of that. I don't encourage you to go home and just see the first stranger passing by and say, "Come on in, But on the issue of our heart, are we hospitable? Do we have our homes open to others? Is our heart open to others? Is our heart, I realize some of that hospitality may mean, hey, you're new to our church today. You want to go to lunch? You don't have to take them home. Maybe it means going down here to McDonald's or wherever. But the hospitality of our heart. And it may be that you know people here in church in so many ways. You know them in church. I mean, I'm guilty of this. How many times? I'm going to blame you folks, not me. But how many times have people said, hey, we need to get together. Yeah, call me. We'll have a Coke or we'll sit down or we'll do something. And we both fail to do so. It's almost like, hey, how are you today? Great. Even though you may be suffering beyond belief. It's just kind of, yeah, let's get together. Yeah, sure. Bye, see ya. It's like that commercial that they're breaking up with each other, you know, and they speak the truth. Hey, we've had a really rotten date, have we? Yeah, we really have. And I'm not going to see you again, Alan. I know you're not going to see me again. Thanks. Hey, have a great night. Bye. I mean, that's somewhat the way we are at times. But Martha was practicing the gift of hospitality. The previous story led to that because the previous parable, the previous story in this chapter is the Good Samaritan, the one who'd fallen by the wayside, had been robbed and beaten, and the Good Samaritan comes by and picks them up. And it looks to us as well, that hospitality, welcoming each other. I always think it's funny because I think in many cases, the resorts have stolen really what we talk about hospitality, because now it's called hospitality services. And hospitality services are really talking about, are the sheets clean, shower clean, you know, what do you need, you know, to make your room right? And nothing about the heart or the relationship of the hospitality. Hospitality deals with more than just the things. It deals with the relationships that are established. So the story is Mary and Martha. But the challenge comes down to it, is it Mary or Martha? I mean, the reality is, most of us will fall into one of these two of the camps, or sometimes I think all of us have the propensity that if we're not careful, we fall into Martha's camp. That if we're not careful, I don't care who you are, given the right situation, we fall into that camp. Martha was the head of hospitality services. She saw all that needed to be done. Now that's a strength in and of itself. People who have that view, who say, these things need to be done. You know, man, Jesus is coming, the disciples are coming, there was an entourage coming. Okay, we got Mary. Okay, we got to get to the house. You get the vacuum, you know, I'm going to pick up all the old Mountain Dew cans or Mount Olive cans or something. I don't know, but we're going to pick up all the cans. We're going to clean up, stack the papers, you know, Jerusalem Times, get them all stacked up, ready to go. You know, we need to clean up a bit. We don't want people just walking in, you know, put the dirty clothes in the hamper, da-da-da, you know, and then Martha's thinking, what do I have to throw a meal together? Come on, feed them. What do we have? How, you know, what can I do? Can I send Lazarus down to the corner 7-Eleven, you know, and get to the market? What do I need to have? Her mind started going. Man, she was saying, man, we got a lot to do. This hospitality, people are coming, and you've been there. And Mary says, yeah, they're coming. Ain't it great? Isn't it great? And they get there, and she says, now, I will tell you, when you read this story by many theologians, they postulate a whole lot of things. They postulate that Mary probably had already helped him prepare stuff. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. You can fantasize all you want about what it may be or culture within that. But the reality is, that is not the problem here today. See, they had differing expectations. Think about this. Put it there. Mary and Martha. Martha sees Jesus coming. Mary, we're going to have company. They're both excited. They're both thrilled. They're both saying, yay, we're going to go. We're going to have this. This is what's coming. This is what's happening. Aren't they great? They're excited to be doing this. But they were excited for different reasons. Mary was saying, Jesus is coming. Social, I'm going to sit down. We're going to enjoy. We're going to talk. I'm going to listen to Jesus. Martha's saying, I look at my house. Geez, you know, look at the things that need to be done. I knew I should have washed the windows. I should have swept the mud out. Whatever it may be, Martha saw it differently. They had differing expectations. But here's the problem. Those differing expectations weren't communicated. We find that problem today. We have expectations. Listen, you get them at home the same way. You have different expectations. You may say, oh, wow, so-and-so's coming over. That's great. That's great. And we're gonna have a 49er watch the party, you know, watch the game party. That's great. Dad, yeah, that's great. Let them come on over. You know, here we go. And the other is saying, oh, we got to do this and that. And pretty soon you look and you say, hey, some of you guys know this, look. You start sensing tension rising in the room. You know, you just sense the tension going up, and you think, hey, you mellow out here, chick, you know. Don't say that. Don't say it, and I encourage you not to. But you're just sitting there, and the temperature's rising, and then the body, the sighs, and you look, and then you sit there, yeah, like, okay, you know. And then pretty soon, are you just going to sit there? And the correct answer would be, yes, that's what we're going to do. That may not be, again, the smartest answer. I mean, the smartest answer would be, oh, no, dear, I'm so sorry. I missed what you need to be doing. What would you want me to help you? That ain't going to happen. But anyway, it would be the right answer. And they had differing expectations. Listen, expectations are where frustration comes from. In marriage, it is not the expectations that cause frustration. It is the fact that they've not been communicated. So we're operating off two different plates. I have the expectation watching the football game. Who cares if there's beans and weenies on the floor? Spill it up. Let the dog eat it. It's okay. No big deal. And the other said, oh, no, man. We got to get this ready. My house has got to be looking right. Got to have it all in. I want to make a statement. The issue is that the expectations aren't communicated. So you have this frustration building and you don't speak it. And I'm sorry. I know, women, I know that we're supposed to be able to read your minds. Hey, man, we can't do that. Okay, and sometimes, unfortunately, we can read your mind, and we will still be obstinate and say, I know what she's doing, but I ain't doing that. We have these different, and then that brings frustration. You think, hey, we're going to have a day off. Man, man, I'm tired, I'm on a day off. And you want to sit back and do nothing. I'm going to veg, man. I'm going to sit by the pool. It doesn't matter that it's that little kiddie pool. It's, 4 feet around and 8 inches high. I'm sitting by the pool. That's my resort today. And yet your wife may be saying, oh, man, I've been home with a little one all week. I want to change. Let's go. Let's get out and go. And you say, huh? And so all of a sudden you clash because here comes that day. You got the kiddie pool out. You got the water going. You got your recliner right there, man, your gravity chair. You're ready to go. And she said, let's go. And all of a sudden, what are we doing? I don't want to go shopping. I don't want to go do this. I want to hang out. It's the different expectations that bring frustration. See, Mary saw that interaction was going to take place. She wanted to be part of that interaction. Frustration begins. But it really comes down to the principle of this passage is presentation versus the person. Mary saw what needed to be done. Is my home presentable? Am I going to take care of my guests? Is there food? Mary saw Jesus coming and said, what home? I'm going to sit down and listen to him. We've all been there, as I say. I often ask, even as I looked at this week, does that apply, I wonder, to the way we worship as well? Did that presentation supersede the person? We talked as a band today. We talked, even as the pastor, does our presentation become more important than the person of Jesus Christ? And you may look at this and say, man, the band really needs to work on that. But do you, when you come in here on Sunday morning, do you come wondering what the presentation's going to be? Do you wonder, coming, what's going to happen? Bill going to screw up? Or do you come saying, I have an expectation to hear from Jesus? Is the presentation more about what I'm going to wear than who I'm going to be worshiping? Am I more concerned about the presentation than we are hearing about Jesus? In many cases, I think the church, I know there's a fine balance here. It doesn't mean do your worst that glorifies God more, not at all. But the principle he's giving here of that which is really important. I think in many cases the church has become uneducated or misinformed regarding worship and regarding what the church is all about. And I fight with this battle. I think in many cases the church has become that which is for entertainment. And our worship is for entertainment. And our worship is for the lights and some have the smoke and all the things that have to go on. And I'm not saying any of it's bad, but it is definitely bad. It could be just an organ and piano. And that could be bad if that distracts us from the person of Jesus Christ. So it's not just a style. It's anything that takes us away from that. Are we coming to church for the warm, fuzzy feelings that maybe we can get? Are we come to church for an emotional charge? Do we come to church saying, well, I want to have that emotional feeling to walk away with? Yeah, balance is needed, as I say. But what is our attitude as we approach? What is our expectation as we see Jesus is coming, as we're coming to sit here at the feet of Jesus to hear his word? What are our expectations? Do we plan in advance? You start Saturday night saying, God, I want to hear from you corporately tomorrow. I want to hear from you as God's people tomorrow. Or do we think, oh man, that's just, here it is. Okay, Sunday morning, get up, go ritual. Martha asked the question, doesn't anyone notice? She addressed Jesus. Frustration is heard. She finally had walked by, had probably given every nonverbal cue to Mary she could give, and she wasn't catching it, and the tension is rising, and Martha says, hey, Lord, don't you recognize I'm working here? Don't you care? That's really what she's saying. In fact, in the real, that's what it says. Don't you care? She's talking to the Lord of the universe, Jehovah, God with us, amen. Don't you care? That really was the question. Doesn't matter what you were doing. Don't you care about me? What I'm doing? Can't you tell my sister to get up and help me? That's what's most important. Now, before you beat up on Martha too much, we've already talked about the cultural implications that Jesus changed regarding women. Christianity has done more for the role of women than any other religion, than any other teacher, than anything. Jesus elevates the role of women. We looked at that the very first week in that series. Go back and listen to it again. And even Jesus here, so culturally, listen, we may be meeting up on Martha, but the reality is it was the way that things were. That's what role the women were supposed to take. You come in, okay, kind of be seen and not heard type thing. I'm getting all this stuff ready. She fulfilled that role that she was doing, and that was it. But Jesus is going to clarify what's really important here. She had missed so much because she was saying all these things that have to be done, the many things that were distracting her. And we don't like to think of this, especially in this passage. In fact, many of the theologians will just skip this. But there was a rebuke here. There was a rebuke. It was given to Martha by Jesus, and it was a rebuke to refocus. In fact, he said it twice, Martha, Martha, for emphasis, for clarity, for well as listen to me, as well as care. It was for correction. Refocus on what is really important. You are distracted by many things. But what is the main thing? He said there's one thing. And that was listening to Jesus. Are you listening to Jesus? Man, we just finished a great life group. Here comes the ad, guys. If you're not in life group, you need to be in a life group, okay? That's just where you need to be. We finished Kent's life group. We just finished a great study called Whisper. Are you listening to Jesus? Are you hearing him? Are you listening to everybody else around your life? Are you living off other people's faith? You know, not really living in your own faith, but are you listening to Jesus in the midst of chaos, in that finding that spot to say, God, speak to me. Listen, I want to speak to Jesus. I want Jesus to speak to me and not be pulled away by everybody else. It was a great study, but the issue is listening to God. The main thing wasn't the presentation of the home or the food, but the person of Jesus Christ. Her busyness kept her from hearing Jesus. And listen, I think at times we fall into that same frame. Our busyness keeps us from hearing Jesus. We don't hear that still small voice when it's quiet, and we don't hear it when it's in the midst of our chaos. Are we listening to Jesus? Do we have the attitude that what is most important is listening to him? We don't like correction, do we? Come on, a minute. None of us like correction. None of us like being told, well, you're wrong. None of us like being told, we just don't do that. We bristle up at it. Yet it is part of the believer's life. Every one of us, it is part of the believer's life. For us to be corrected and challenged, discipled. Not discipline in the sense of punishment, but discipled, discipline in the sense of being conformed to the image of Christ. Do you understand the person, the church, this family, this body, the bride of Christ, at times needs to deal with correction and the challenge to refocus? And Jesus was telling Martha, you need to refocus on that which is really important. Get your view off all the things that are temporal and external of the food in your house and all of that, and focus on what is really important. Do we love the presentation of the church? Do we love the presentation of our life more than we love the Lord of our life and the Lord of our church? Do we lose the joy of serving because we're looking around and saying, well, I'm working in stars, but boy, they're just sitting here. They're doing nothing. They're doing nothing. We lose the joy of serving because our focus isn't on serving and listening to Jesus. It's like we're comparing ourselves to somebody else. We see others who aren't doing this. Do you come with critical spirits? Do you come with critical attitudes? Do you come and say, man, I'm so mad at my house or what's going on in life or my job, and I come in here and you're critical and you don't see the joy of the Lord and you're not going to share, and you come in here and that critical, harsh spirit, and man, God just can't crack that wall. And are those things that we bring in on Sunday morning, are they based on our expectations of what we feel God needs to do for us? Is it our expectations that we come and say, this is what's really important? Or do we listen to God? What are our distractions today? Are you listening today? Are you distracted by other things, other people, other events? Perhaps you're distracted by the normal, the ritual, the acceptable. I'm in church. I'm here. I do that. That's what we do on Sunday morning. I'm here. But is that ritual distracting you from being sensitive to hearing from Jesus? To tugging at your heartstrings to say you can change in this area? Do we need to refocus our priorities of what's really important in our life? Are you more concerned with presentation than the Spirit of God? Listen, as a pastor, I deal with that. I deal with presentation. Man, Monday night rehearsal, it was rough. It just drove me to my knees. Really, it did. Okay, God, because you know what? I had to come to the point, it's not about presentation at all. It's about listening to Jesus. It doesn't mean we want to not take a shower so we stink coming to church, because it's not that we're going to offer a bad smell. It's not that we don't want to try to do the very best we can, but sometimes we say, God, I'm not in control. You got to be in control. Did you come this morning distracted from hearing Jesus speak to you? What are distractions on this morning or any given morning to hearing from the Lord Jesus? I think they exist. I know they exist. I know I have to deal with it, because some of you become distractions. Really, I'm just being honest. Even on Sunday morning, I can say, God, I can't be distracted by any person, because I have a responsibility to hopefully give your word in truth and relevance. There's a little chorus I thought of this morning. Some of you will know it, some of you won't. I sang it early. Not mean to be manipulative at all. I'm just telling you, vulnerable, this is where God hit me this morning. And I don't know if I can sing it, so I'll probably just say it. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. God, I pray that's our prayer for every heart here today, that we will avoid the distractions, that right now in our mind that we will be longing to hear your voice, longing to know your touch, to hear your word. God, may that be our listening ear today. May our worship be a sweet aroma, because it's an offering of our life, not just of a song. God, help us to listen to you. May we leave changed this day. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Pastor Mike.